Today on your Healthiest Healthy Podcast with Samantha Harris.
How to stop overeating. Why do we overeat? It's possible that you're overeating due to the mixed signals and the poor nutrition, but most likely it's a habit that stems from an emotional response. Low eaters consume 2 ounces of food per minute. Low and fast eaters consume 3.1 ounces per minute. Some of the tips that can help you implement slower eating. First, our body isn't getting the nutrients it needs. Therefore, it's going to constantly seek out the nutrients.
Hey everyone, it's Samantha Harris. I'm an Emmy-winning journalist and TV host from shows like Dancing with the Stars and Entertainment Tonight. But a breast cancer diagnosis at age 40 changed everything. The wake-up call I didn't realize I needed. Now, a certified health coach and the author of a number one best-selling wellness book, I'm fiercely dedicated to guiding you to elevate your well-being in ways you may not have realized you could or even should. Don't worry, it's with small, manageable steps to mitigate chronic disease and live vibrantly with unparalleled energy. This is your Healthiest Healthy Podcast.
Your Healthiest Healthy community, it is time to tackle the subject that a lot of us are plagued by, which is how to stop overeating. Okay, first of all, let's get into the why for a quick moment. You know, I always love the science of things. So why do we overeat? Well, the majority of people do actually tend to overeat regularly. So the big question sort of is out there, is there a unifying reason for this unhealthy habit, or is it just really dependent person to person? And the answer is actually both. And the reason for that can be grouped into three categories. Your body's confused, you're lacking nutrients, or you're craving something other than food. And let me just dive a tiny bit deeper into each of those. So the first one, your body's confused. So we're in a rush. We eat our meals based on our commutes or our lunch breaks instead of what our body's actually asking for, right? And our meals are oftentimes distracted, they're mindless, and we're really taking the time that we need to recognize actually when we're full, right? Keying into those signals from our body. So of course our bodies are absolutely confused. The second one I was talking about is we're lacking nutrients. A really, really big reason to overeat. Our body, the human body, carefully deciphers the information it's receiving and it uses it for future communication. So in other words, if you are regularly snacking on unhealthy food when you're not physiologically hungry, this information is actually being handed to your body as sort of, well, that's the normal occurrence. This is just what I do. And if your snack of choice doesn't contain the nutrients that your body needs, well, your body's pretty darn smart, right? It needs the healthy foods, the nutrient-dense foods. And so your body needs to receive the nutrients to be able to actually signal, all right, awesome, I am finally satiated. I can stop eating. Of course, we also have to signal into that, right? Key into that. And then the other thing is you're craving something actually other than food. How many times have you had that thing? And I've talked about this actually when before in other coaching sessions, but where you think you're really hungry, but you happen to have a glass of water first. And then you realize, oh, I guess I was just thirsty. Because oftentimes thirst masks itself as hunger. So it's possible that you're overeating due to the mixed signals and the poor nutrition, but most likely it's a habit that stems from an emotional response too. You're craving something other. So not just the liquid of H2O, but sometimes there are other things, right? That's where the emotional eating comes. And I believe I've already done a coaching session on emotional eating, and I think it's something that we can dive deeper into in future sessions. And it's really quite common to seek comfort as well as pleasure in food, right? It's so fun to like go grab ice cream with your friends or go, you know, dive into a really big meal of pasta at a family Italian restaurant where you all get to share. So there's a lot of that pleasure also from the food and then the comfort when we're feeling maybe tired or low. So it could have been a stressful day or you got in an argument with a loved one or you were going through some sort of really big life change, food can be really the easiest form on stress relief. And for some people, it's kind of like that food therapy, right? And then food, of course, symbolizes the special events, right? The happy times with the people we love, and an easy way of treating yourself when something good has happened, right? Let's go celebrate. Let's go do this. Let's, you know, indulge because you had some sort of success. But the result of using food as therapy is really short-lived, and it can facilitate quite a dangerous habit and cycle, right? It's okay to allow food to comfort you once in a while, but what you're doing is you're interrupting your body's natural stress response if you rely on it on the reg, right? So on the reg, I'm trying to keep up with the cool kids on the reg regularly. So what can we do to get that overeating under control? How do we make this work? Okay, so it sometimes, while overeating can develop from a whole host of different reasons, the steps to get it under control, thankfully, are very consistent. So first of all, give me like a high five. Have you had that just the occasional or continual occurrence where you are overeating a lot? Do you feel like it's something that happens every day or quite often? Overeating is, as we just said, it's just something we can't kind of always get away from. Overeating is a big part of our lives, whether it's because we're trying to control an emotion or we're not getting the nutrients we need. So how do we tackle it? First off, you must identify and recognize that it's an issue. Second, you have to make yourself available to try different strategies to combat it. And lastly, you must be ready to take control of your life, your health, your happiness. These are things that are within your control. So who's with me? Let's do this. All right, here is how we're gonna do that. We're gonna talk about the different strategies to stop overeating once and for all. Mindfulness, all right. I know you guys, you see me talk about this a lot. Mindfulness is a really important way to be able to tackle everything from the stress we're having, to try to avoid and prevent chronic diseases, to sleep better. But mindfulness, it's been around forever. It was derived by the Buddhist philosophies. Mindfulness is a form of meditation, right? It is its own kind. And specifically, the goal of a mindfulness practice is to gain a better understanding of your emotions and your physical sensations, and then how to effectively manage them. So in other words, mindfulness brings awareness and acceptance to the here and now. And research really backs this up. It has found strong connections between a mindfulness meditation practice and physical, psychological, and emotional health. So, all right, we know mindfulness is going to reduce stress. We already talked about that. It can also help reduce compulsive behavior and also emotional reactivity. When we are being mindful, we're a little more aware of what the situation is, and we don't react quite the same. There's also an improvement in relaxation, immune response, and empathy, which just makes us all better human beings, and healthier ones, obviously. So we can condense it into a short description, but it's really hard to grasp the concept without trying it for yourself fully. And so the best part about that is you don't actually have to begin a formal daily meditation practice to reap the benefits of mindfulness. Now, I'm not saying, don't think for a second, Samantha just said I don't have to be, committed to a meditation practice. No, I'm saying let's definitely keep that. I like the meditation practice still. So if you're doing that, keep up the good work. If you haven't started one, even if it's a 2-minute meditation every day, please do integrate that into your healthy life. But it doesn't mean, it's not mutually exclusive with mindfulness. So I want to discuss a branch of mindfulness that actually helps to halt overeating in a really nurturing and forgiving way. So mindful eating is the process of really bringing your full attention to your experiences, to your cravings, physical cues, emotional responses while you are eating. So that means eating slowly, removing distractions. And I'm not saying that you can't sit in front of the TV, watch your favorite show and eat. That's a really nice thing to do. We do that as a family too. But sometimes just removing those distractions, or even start the meal for 5 minutes without any distractions. Refine the communication with your body so that you can really recognize true satiety. And then also to distinguish between the physical and emotional hunger. Some other elements really for really succeeding here is to entertain your senses with the details of the food. When was the last time that you sat down to your meal and really looked at it and had that visual intake and then smelled it and enjoyed the aromas, allowed your salivary glands to start, and then tasted it, and as it's in your mouth, really paying attention to the texture, the taste, the consistency, different notes and flavors. Then also, this is a really important one, to be able to work in this space with tackling overeating. We really need to work on healing our negative relationships that some of us have with food. But then also notice how individual foods make you feel. Like after you have a meal, whether it's an entire meal or just an apple, right? Or one individual item, how did that make you feel? How did it make you feel while you were eating it? How did it make you feel afterwards? Did it give you that burst of energy or clarity? Did it give you that satiety and you're noticing that? So really learning to truly appreciate your food. And we're gonna go over these components throughout the session today, but those are some of the fundamental practices of mindful eating, and mindful eating really makes a big difference. And then these shifts allow you to replace the negative thoughts, the reactions, the habits that we have around food with more conscious and direct responses. And by restoring your attention to the present moment, eating actually becomes much more intentional instead of automatic. Thoughtless, right? That encounter that we tend to have in today's standard society. So the benefits of eating slower, let's start with that, okay? Because I know I mentioned a bunch of them and I want to tackle a little bit deeper dive into them now. All right, so the benefits, I'm sure you guys can imagine why it's beneficial to eat more slowly. Not only do you usually consume fewer calories, so there's weight management, but also it helps to make for more efficient digestion, better hydration, and then also just more appreciation and enjoyment of the food being eaten. And conversely, eating quickly, which tends to be actually our average speed as Americans, leads to poor digestion, weight gain, less satisfaction with our meal, and clearly not being tuned into the satiety signal. And then we have this fast-paced society, right? Whether it's on our phones, so how do we stop overeating? There are very few things that we actually take the time in our fast-paced society to do slowly, to enjoy, and do intentionally. When we neglect to slow down with our eating habits, it gives us, you know, when we don't slow down, it's going to give us extra time. Sure, we're going to save a hot cup of coffee, a whole 3 minutes because we scarf down that whole plate. It's also going to give us a ton more calories. How do we slow down eating?
Are all the vitamins you're taking actually what your body needs, or are there others you should be taking but don't realize? What if your supplements got personal, like tailor-made for your individual needs? See, I got totally fed up with buying a mishmash of random vitamins and other supplements I just assumed I might need because other people or social media influencers said I needed them. One size fits all doesn't work for anyone when it comes to what's best for our unique biology. So I got really excited when I found a simple tool backed by complex science and powered by a sophisticated algorithm that allows me to get personalized nutrition recommendations. It's called Meology, and it delivers these recommendations precisely for you, not people like you, for you, with more precision, more power, more patents, and more proof than any of the competition. Want to take the quick health assessment to see your personalized recommendations? It's free. Just go to tinyurl.com/healthquizfromSamantha and take it for free. That's tinyurl.com/healthquizfromSamantha. Before cancer and sitting in the makeup chair every day for my TV shoots, I had no idea how many carcinogens, endocrine disruptors, and neurotoxins were lurking in the beauty products being used on my face and body, and same with my at-home routine. after cancer and tons of research and vetting products and brands, I finally discovered one that became my absolute favorite. And it gives me the look and staying power I need without the toxic junk. Now I want to share it with you. It's called Crunchy, and they've set a new standard for cosmetic safety and are redefining the beauty industry where high performance, product safety, and sustainability meet for unprecedented cosmetic results. You no longer have to compromise your beauty for your health or your health for your beauty. Just visit crunchy.com/Samantha Harris. That's crunchy with an I, crunchy.com/Samantha Harris.
First of all, it takes about 20 minutes, and I'm sure you guys have heard this when you remember when you go to the beach or the pool and you slap on the sunscreen and your parents would say, hey, you got to wait 20 minutes before you can go in or you're going to drown because we haven't digested yet, right? Same thing here. And this is a part of the mindful eating so that we can overcome overeating. It takes about that 20 minutes from the start of eating for the brain to actually communicate that feeling of satiety. So you may not even begin to sense being full until after your meal, which is kind of crazy considering we tend to shovel it in and keep shoveling it in, and then we're not really seeing that we're hungry because we're eating it so fast, our brain doesn't have time to catch up. So there have been a bunch of research projects that have examined the speed of various participants in the study. And it concluded that slow eaters consume 2 ounces of food per minute. Medium speed eaters consume about 2.5 ounces of food per minute. And fast eaters consume 3.1 ounces per minute. So I know that doesn't sound like that big of a deal. You're talking about, okay, 2 ounces if I'm slow to 3.1 if I'm fast. So another ounce of food, I mean, that's not that much. But the differentiation of speed actually makes a huge difference cumulatively. Because we use this data, it shows that someone who eats fast is going to eat approximately 22 more ounces of food per meal compared to those who eat slowly. And that is going to really add up. Women who ate quickly consumed 646 calories in 9 minutes. 646 calories in 9 minutes in this study. The women who ate slowly, conversely, consumed 579 calories, so fewer calories, in 29 minutes. So they took 20 more minutes to eat and they consumed 67 fewer calories. Now, again, you're like, yeah, it's not that many calories. But again, cumulatively, that's going to add up. That's going to add onto the pounds. So, all right. So how do we do the slowing down? How is this going to work? Definitely, it's learned. My kids at the dinner table totally make fun of me. Like, oh, gosh, Mom, you should have started eating before we did because now we're just going to have to sit here while you finish. And I used to be a really fast eater. I was usually the first one out of the table through college, too. I remember in the sorority house. I'm like, ha, whoa, what's more? I'm so hungry. Because I had no idea. And the kids make fun of me, but I don't care. Because I'm digesting. I'm eating fewer calories. I'm enjoying my food. I'm also grateful. I find that gratefulness and the gratitude in the food that I'm eating. So we're faced with this abundance of choices, of distractions, of pressures of our daily life, which easily translates into how we address our plate. So some of the tips that can help you implement slower eating. First, put down your utensil between bites. It does seem a little cumbersome or laborious when you first start that, but it's a really great and effective way to just start to teach yourself to slow down. Maybe eventually you won't have to put the fork down, although it's probably proper manners, but set a minimum number of chews per bite. This is really going extreme mindful eating so that you can then back up once you get the hang of it and you won't have to do this every time. This is just how we're getting started. So put the fork down between bites, set a minimum number of chews before bite. Digestion starts in the mouth. The moment that you start chewing and the salivary glands start going, they're starting to break down that food. right? Our stomach can't chew for us. It can't masticate and make it all. It sounds naughty, but it's not. They break it down for us. So also take smaller servings at first and then allow yourself to go back for more if you feel still the need. So you're not saying when you're putting a smaller portion on your plate, ugh, this is all I'm going to eat. You think, this is what I'm going to start with. And then I'm going to listen to my body, maybe sit for 5 minutes before I quickly get back up to go do a refill. And then ideally setting aside 20 to 30 minutes at minimum for a meal is really appropriate. A lot of us do this at dinner time, not so much at breakfast and lunch. All right, we are surrounded by pings and dings, constant distractions. It could be responsibilities, it could be entertainment, but our attention is taken away from eating, right? And so when our attention is taken away from eating, whether it's scrolling through the emails, working on our laptop, watching TV, taking a phone call, unless you're doing a really like a nice like FaceTime or phone call with a friend and you're enjoying a slow dinner together, chewing slowly, pretty much they're just distractions. So when your brain is occupied by another task, eating then automatically becomes a mindless act. And it leaves you really susceptible to missing your body's natural hunger cues and often overeating. So the next time you're eating with distractions, ask yourself these questions. Did I enjoy the food? How much did I eat? And I'll make sure I put these tips that I've gone through in the comments later so you guys have them to reference again. Did I enjoy the food? How much of it did I eat? Am I getting full? Do I feel nourished? Two very different things, because you can be full on a tub of ice cream or a plate of French fries. I've been there. But do I feel nourished in that case? Hell no. So, the best part is if you can't answer these questions, like, did I enjoy this food? You know, I guess. Then you'll automatically know very quickly that you weren't eating in a mindful way. Sometimes they're harder to answer. Sometimes they're easy. But if they're hard, then it's a clear indication that you're not truly paying attention to what's on your plate and not experiencing the benefits that your food can really provide you. So I had mentioned when I was going through the different tips about really being mindful about what the food looks like, visualizing. What does it smell like? Using all five senses. You know, whether it's if you're eating something with your hands, how is it feeling? That taste, it does seem pretty obvious, but how do we really pay attention to the individual tastes of the food we eat? Does it taste sweet, sour, bitter, salty, savory? Can you tell what seasonings were used on it? Do you like the way it tastes? And then with the smell, it is related obviously to taste, because without smell, we can't actually taste. Anyone with a good stuffy nose knows that. So, but does it smell fresh? Do you smell anything else in there? And then look at it. What's the shape? What's the color? What's the size of your food? Can you take a moment to say, wow, especially when we're eating whole food, plant-based, I'm so grateful for where this food is coming from. I can see the individual, foods and how they can grow from the earth and then end up on my plate and then nourish my body. It is really easy to get distracted while we're eating. And it's not to say that there isn't a time or place for those distractions, but when we're trying to really aggressively slow down and not overeat, this is the time where you really want to take stock in how you're approaching your meal. And with food too, is the presentation appealing? If you've cooked it, putting that vitamin L, right, vitamin love into your food, the preparation, we so oftentimes we just get prepared food, whether it's takeout or we sit at a restaurant or it's a frozen meal. And so what ends up happening is we have this disconnect from what our ancestors used to have, which was this ability to really go through that process of putting, chopping and putting all the ingredients together and melding the different smells and aromas and flavors in the air, which actually would start the mindfulness process and the digestion process even early, because your mouth starts to salivate when it starts to smell good food. And then you're really anticipating the excitement of that meal. So if you're not cooking at all right now, I want to challenge you to cook at least one meal at home, ideally sitting down with loved ones or they could be family, they could be friends, creating that community around the food as well. So also, you know, pay attention to what the food feels like. What's the texture of the food? Is it crunchy? Is it chewy? Is it grainy? Is it greasy? Is it hot? Is it cold? Is it dry? Is it moist? Is it light? Is it heavy? Right? There's so many different things. And if you want and it helps you, jot things down. You could even have a little pen and paper with you as you're just getting started. You don't need to go that far, but I'm just throwing that out. Listen. Yeah, our ears actually also come into play when we're talking about mindful eating. Is it crunchy? Are you slurping it? What kind of food noise is it making? And it's interesting because research explored how people interact with the senses of their food, and plates that are filled with food of strong aromas, vibrant, varied colors, pleasant, smooth textures, actually provided more satisfaction for these participants of the study. And it prevented their overeating as well, because they really felt they had enough food the first go around. You heard me talking about water and that thirst oftentimes masks itself as hunger. So the next thing is hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. If you are one who tends to overeat, or even if you're not, I strongly recommend drinking a full glass of water before each meal. If you're about to, Kim just joined us. Hey, Kim. If you are someone who feels like you really need to watch your weight, or you really want to make sure that you don't overindulge or go for the sweets or the junk, drink that glass of water, right? We really want to aim for at least half our body weight in ounces of water per day, right? So 150 pound woman, 75 ounces of water. Easy peasy, good, easy math. And I know Sandy, I've got the science teacher with me here who understands math. I'm not very good at the math, and she also teaches math. She's amazing. I'm glad that that's actually a really easy, quick formula and calculation for me. My kids make fun of me because when they do homework, they only go to my husband who's in finance for the math. They come to me for all the English and stuff because I was a journalism major. And I try to remind them, I know tangent, sorry. I try to remind them that I was a straight A student, but then I had babies and mom brain, they took my cells. Do you know that part of your brain, speaking of loss of brain cells, the part of your brain is actually responsible for communicating when you're hungry and when you're thirsty. So it's really easy to confuse the two sensations of hunger or thirst, right? And when we begin to feel hungry, we start to drink that water and then wait about 15 minutes if you can. And you're really going to be surprised how much that can satisfy you. And then if you still want the thing you were going for, especially if it's something that's maybe a nutrient deficient, non-food, junk, candy, chips, whatever it is, you'll be surprised. And I so appreciate, by the way, the comments have been amazing today. I love this. Yay. If you are hungry and you're misinterpreting it for thirst, it's really still beneficial to do this practice of drinking a glass of water before the meal starts to send the signal of feeling full to the brain before you even start to eat. Aha, right? That signal is starting to go there. The belly is filling up. And nutrient density is really important in this as well, right? Because as I mentioned earlier, when we're eating all the junk, our food, our body isn't getting the nutrients it needs. Therefore, it's going to constantly seek out the nutrients. Now, you may be on a crazy cycle that a lot of Americans are, of never giving your body all that it needs when it comes to nutrients. That's another reason you're here with me in this community. I'm here to support you, to help in any way I can, and for us to support each other to get those nutrient-dense foods into your daily life, increasing the veggie intake. Veggies are fantastic, especially when it comes to helping to not overeat and have satiety, and I'll get back to that in a little bit. Let's jump into another important tip, sleep. We've got to sleep. A healthy sleep schedule is crucial for, many of our body's natural processes, but also our sleep cycle is that time for our bodies to make the necessary switch from our fight or flight sympathetic nervous system to the rest and digest parasympathetic nervous system. And that adequate sleep is really related to inadequate sleep increases are hunger signals. So have you ever been totally sleep deprived or had to get up super, super, super early, a couple of hours usually earlier than your normal wake time? And you're so tired. And what happens when you see the bagel, or you especially have to get up for an early flight and then you pass the donuts? It is really hard to say no. Those who slept 4.5 hours a night for 4 nights in a row actually ate, in this one study, 300 calories more in snacks in one sitting versus those who had gotten over 8 hours of sleep. And there have been so many more studies that have found that the lack of sleep causes a rise in a chemical that is proven to make people overeat, specifically with the foods that are high in sugar, salt, and fat, right? All the things we don't want. Healthy fat, another story. Awesomeness, and we can have a whole coaching session on that, which I think we have and we should again. But the bad fat, the junky fat. So it's why you're overtired that you go for all those naughty no-nos that you don't want too much of in your life. It's important to note that the quality of your sleep is actually the emphasis here, though, too. Just because you've been in bed for 8.5 hours of sleep doesn't mean that you actually slept soundly and you woke up rested, right? So you really do need to get that long amount of sleep, but actually sleeping. And if you have trouble maintaining a healthy sleep routine, I do a whole sleep coaching session, Sleep 101, but that's for another day because this is all about overeating. I see Sarah joined us. Hi, Sarah. So if you need a better night's sleep so that we can avoid the overindulgences of food, set yourself up. Set a great sleep routine. That could mean taking a warm bath or foam rolling, maybe having a cup of chamomile tea or listening to some soft music, cuddling up with a good book, but ideally trying to limit the screen time before bed. And I know this one's a hard one. So at the very least, if you're going to be on screens, then dim the lights around the room and dim the screen, or use blue light glasses. Also, another way to really focus in on a good night's sleep is avoiding alcohol. Alcohol will make us pass out pretty quickly and then wake up later and not have a great sleep. Caffeine late in the day also does this, or a lot of sugar late in the day can as well. And then also really practicing some great relaxation techniques as part of your sleep routine so that you don't overeat the next day because you're overtired. So it could be, again, the foam rolling I just mentioned, or using yoga balls, which I love, right behind the back. They really get into all those knots. Gentle yoga or stretching, or even just some breathing exercises. But really have a sleep routine. Super important for every process in your entire body. And you can add in all of these different things. Also journaling or writing a couple of gratitudes. So I want to just shift a little bit. Who has seen this, who has had this scene play out? So shortly after eating dinner, I'm going to set the scene for you. Shortly after eating dinner, you're looking for a snack. Does that sound familiar? You've just had dinner and then 30 minutes later, hour later, like, you find yourself in your kitchen. You're like, what should I have for a snack before bedtime? Before bedtime, no snack. So a lot of people report that they experience sort of these strong food cravings in the evening. It actually turns out that there is a decline in the activation of the neurological reward pathway, or that mechanism that allows food to satisfy us or hit the spot, right? And it's been studied a lot. And the question still arises on how or why it's happening and how to combat this. It's a very frustrating thing to have happen, and how do we figure that out?
Do you feel like you often put yourself at the bottom of the to-do list, or self-care just barely means a hot bath, perhaps an occasional workout, or maybe a chair massage at the mall? How does this sound instead? Let's meet up for 4 days at a blissful sanctuary surrounded by stunning red rock mountains. It's perfect for those craving a break from the chaos of everyday life to get you back on the road to your healthiest healthy yet. And while we're together, you'll get personal coaching from me. We'll grab some epic hikes for all levels, eat delicious healthy meals together. You'll get pampered at the spa, enjoy yoga and invigorating fitness classes, all included, at a spectacular resort in Utah. It's the wellness retreat you've been waiting for, but just haven't yet taken the time to gift yourself. It's transformational, restorative, and so much fun. So join me. It's my exclusive Your Healthiest Healthy Retreat, Utah, this October. I have limited spots for this ladies-only small group wellness getaway, so hurry and visit tinyurl.com/YHHretreats because it's the Your Healthiest Healthy Retreat. So that's tinyurl.com/YHHretreats. See you there.
So the best advice is to stay busy. If you find that you're searching for a snack after dinner, either if you're one that's able to like be out and about, make some after dinner plans. That could mean meeting up with friends, but it also could mean watching your favorite TV show, beginning a new book. Some of these things just to focus or refocus, right, to distract you from going for that snack. But the key is to make sure it's something enjoyable. Right? This would not be the time to tackle that work project late at night that you don't want to tackle, because then you'll probably go back to that snack and be like, yes, give me more. And then you're enjoying something that's beyond your plate, right? Your plate was enjoyable for dinner, and now here's something that's more enjoyable. All right, another thing that you can do for helping you avoid overeating is creating some distance between you and your plate once you're starting to feel full. Right, because when the plate is there, have you ever been in that situation? Kim just says, I always want sweets after dinner. Hey, by the way, I'm not saying that you can't have something sweet after dinner. I go for 70% dark chocolate, so 70% cacao or higher, so 72%, 74%. A couple squares of dark chocolate slowly melting in your mouth, really enjoying it, feeling the flavors, feeling the texture, super satiating. Last night I had ice cream. I did. It was in the house. And when it's in the house, you know what happens. But I also tried to have it right after dinner so that there was more distance between the last morsel in my mouth and going to sleep. You want to try to have two to three hours, but even a 1 hour minimum between the last bite and the first morsel. And if you're intermittent fasting, that also helps. So you can, you know, get that 12 to 14 hours of intermittent fasting, or 16 if you're going that far. If you haven't seen the intermittent fasting coaching sessions, there was already one. There's another one coming up next week. And there have been some great interviews with our experts on intermittent fasting. So many benefits of that. But I don't want to go deeply there because I know we're focusing on overeating. But creating the distance between the food, because you finish your meal and there's some food still on the plate, but you were feeling full. So you were all right. You were tuning into your senses and you stopped eating, but there's still some food and people are still talking at the table. And what do? You end up finding yourself grazing until all of a sudden maybe that whole plate is done, but you really were already way past full before you started grazing. So when we create that distance, if it's not at a restaurant and you're at home or at someone's house and you're able to go clear your plate away and come back to the table and rejoin the conversation, an even better way to avoid that, because the act of pushing your plate away or removing it from the table tells your brain that you are done. And there's no reason to keep eating. It's already communicating. But if you put your food when you put your food out of easy reach, then it makes an effort, right? You have to actually get up to go get something more. You have to add back into your plate or do that extra reach across the table to bring your plate closer. And that actual effort gives you even just a couple of seconds for your synapses to fire and make a decision, an intentional one, versus mindless snacking on the leftovers in front of you. I keep mentioning French fries and ice cream. I think I clearly have two of my favorite things on the brain since I was a kid. But if you've ever had that plate of French fries in front of you that just is sitting there, how many, like high five or thumbs up? Well, maybe not a high five because it's not awesome, but we do it. Thumbs up if you've finished the plate because it's just been there. Same thing for snacks, right? Snacks, like if you're in an office that has candy or those big bowls of candy around, if they're within reach and they're visible, it is much more likely that they're going to be eaten by you much more frequently and without much thought. But if those treats require a little bit of a walk to get to them, to make you indulge, then you're making a conscious choice to get up and get them. And not to say that if you make that choice to get up and get them, you're a terrible, bad person and you're, no, it's just, that's what it is. I did it. I'm gonna start fresh tomorrow or the next hour when I have that craving again. And maybe that time I'll make a different choice. But at least you're having the choice versus the mindlessness. And then we have to remove the traps, right? Because I want to make sure that not only are you setting yourself up for success, but by doing that, also we remove the traps that encourage overeating in our lives. So one is order less and allow yourself seconds if needed. That kind of goes hand in hand with earlier. If you're serving yourself, take less to start. Use I always love these tricks. Use smaller plates and taller glasses. So you're filling more water up because you have a taller glass. Ideally, only drinking water with meals. This is going to really cut down on the excess calories and sugars and artificial sweeteners from the sodas or even the fruit juices or any other things that you might want to drink with your meal. Also, digestion works better when you're not flooding it with lots of other stuff that's liquid. So the smaller plates, of course, gives your mind an idea that you actually have a lot more food on your plate because it's maybe filling to the edges. And the bigger your plate, the more calories, fat, junk, and I keep saying fat, but I mean the unfortunate fats that you don't need are going to be filled on that plate. And then play with the color of your dishes. That's also kind of a fun thing to do. And have healthy filling foods always available. Really big one. I love to do pre-cut veggies, prepped fruit, front and center in the fridge in a glass container so I can see them. The kids can see them. The husband can see them. Everybody's there. And that's what you go for first, and then put the other stuff that isn't going to give you the nutrients that your body needs towards the back of the fridge. That definitely works better. And I love that Sandy said that the smaller meals have really helped her, or the smaller plates rather have really helped her. So I love that. Go Sandy! What else? If you guys have other tips that have worked for you, please do also add them in the comments. I'm pointing that way because I have my phone sitting next to my laptop screen so that I can make sure I see it as everything pops up. You know, one other thing, we seek pleasure naturally. And that could be from the food that we're eating, to the things we're listening to the view out our window, or the joy of good company. And so we are not solely filling up on calories of the food we eat, but the amount of joy that we experience by seeing it, by smelling it, by sharing it, by eating it, right? How much happiness does it bring you when you're sharing a great meal or you've made some food that you're now sharing with people, right? So there are a lot of other elements that come into play besides just the actual act of eating the food itself. So take time to set the mood for a meal. And when you do that, you can noticeably increase the satisfaction that it brings you. So using your best dishes, preparing it beautifully on your plate, maybe lighting a soy-based or a beeswax candle. I say that specifically because the other kinds of candles can have lots of dangerous toxic fumes. Playing relaxing music, inviting your favorite people to join in. What do you guys do to increase the pleasure of your meals? Anything that you guys want to share? And again, even if you're not watching this live and you're catching this later in the recording, I love to see the interaction here. And by the way, if you're wondering and you're watching in the recording why you can't see the comments from the people who are live, it's because I record it, literally record it, and put it up so it's a cleaner looking picture for you guys. So unfortunately, you won't see their comments. That's why I'm trying to bring them out loud a little bit. All right, so we're almost going to wrap up here. So I want to just hit on a couple more topics. So a lot of the food today in our food supply actually lack the nutrients that our bodies need. Instead, they're really carefully engineered chemicals with the goal of tricking our brains that we're still hungry. And anyone who's opened a bag of chips and finished the whole thing, even though you said you're only going to have a quarter of it or half of it, knows exactly what I mean. Most of the processed food that we eat today signals that we are still hungry after eating instead of satiated. And because of the lack of essential nutrients, we end up consuming excess calories before our brain is even aware that we've eaten enough. So we're eating all these excess calories before our brain knows that we've had enough. We're not tuned in anymore. And that's also because of the processed foods. It's not allowing us. Oh gosh. I mean, can you imagine how much these people, these chemical engineers or whatever, I don't even know what they're really called, who work for the food companies, the food conglomerates, what they must be paid. And how do they sleep at night that they're doing this to, maybe they're fine in their mansions. But you know what? We need to be smarter as consumers. And we can be. We are. Duh. We are. And you're part of this community. So you're already there. But your brain is just patiently waiting and hoping to receive the protein and the fiber and the vitamins that we need to function properly. And all those, you know, scientists who are paid the big bucks, they don't care. They don't care. And we need to outsmart them, and we can. Each meal should be constructed with nutrients that, oh, I see. I see, Sandy said she can't see me anymore. So I'm just going to, can you see me? I don't know. Maybe it's my internet or you guys. So if you lost me, I'm so sorry. And hopefully you'll come back or catch this later and catch up to where we are now in the recording. So hopefully the recording is still working all the way through. I better check the technology of all this, right? I don't know why this is happening. Oh, you can. Okay, great. Okay, now I see that. All right, so back to the food gurus and all of that stuff. Look, every meal should be constructed with nutrients in mind. High quality proteins. If you're eating animal meat, that means grass-fed, organic, pasture-raised dairy and eggs and milk. If you're eating those beans, also organic. Really making sure we have lots of fiber. So we're getting that from ideally our non-starchy vegetables, and a lot of them from our fruit, especially the berries, because they're great in antioxidants and they're lower in sugar, lower on the glycemic index, which means they won't spike your insulin, right? The sugar. Trying to get most of these nutrients from your vegetables. That should really be, no matter what dietary theory you want, if you want to be vegan, you want to be paleo, you want to be keto, you want to be pescatarian, Mediterranean, whatever it is, you do you, but start with a big foundation of whole food, plant-based, and especially veggies. And that's gonna help combat the overeating. A lot of us lack the fiber, okay? The average woman in America gets about 12 grams of fiber per day. The USDA says we should get about 20 to 25 grams of fiber per day. And what we really need to aim for is 30 to 35. And it's not too much. You absolutely can. You can aim for a pound of veggies, of non-starchy veggies a day. You're like, are you kidding me, Samantha? But it's actually totally doable, especially when you start the day with, say, a smoothie, because you can blend down, you know, 10 ounces easily of greens right there. And 16 ounces is a pound of veggies. So, okay, your brain, let's talk about that, because your brain is receiving the messages and the signals of feeling full much more accurately and much faster when it's getting the nutrients versus when it's having the packaged snack foods. So the final couple thoughts here. Okay, I guess I have like a bunch of thoughts, but I'll try to wrap it up. It's really a common theme in our lives, right, that we are busier than our meal plans. Maybe you woke up too late to eat breakfast or lunch, and so the time is stolen by extra work that needs to get done or whatever it is. And these aren't good excuses for missing meals, but sometimes that's out of our control. And I also want to make sure you're not dictating your meals based on the fact that we have to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner in this particular order at this particular time. Like I said, the intermittent fasting thing is a really powerful tool in our health and healthful lives in our arsenal. And I still get pretty much three meals in a day, but I might, for the most part, don't start before 11 or 12, sometimes even later, with that intermittent fasting. And that's a sort of a newer thing in my post-cancer life within the last year. Thank you, COVID. It actually gave me something cool that I didn't know I needed in my life. So instead, just try, doesn't have to be like get up and have that meal. Just try to plan to have something available that is easy and nutritious for when you're in a pinch. At the very least, some healthy filling snacks and having those around will help you to avoid just diving into the junk once you finally do get to eat a meal, especially if you don't get to eat the meal because something came up for work or kids or whatever it was, and all of a sudden now you're starving or hangry and you just go for whatever's quick and within reach. And oftentimes that's going to be the packaged nutrient deficient non-foods, I like to say, call them. So that's when you want to really have some prepared healthy foods, because the deprivation of food throughout the day, exclusive of intermittent fasting, leads your body to feel that it needs more than it actually does. And that's as a result of the drop in blood sugar, the release of hunger hormones. And then that strong urge to overindulge comes there. So definitely check out the intermittent fasting thing. Make sure you're getting all your micronutrients, your macronutrients, focusing on nutrient density. And then stress management. Because stressful situations, just like lack of sleep, leads us down the wrong path when it comes to how we're eating. Stressful situations lead to the release of cortisol, and better known as our stress hormone. We know that that isn't so good. We've done lots of coaching sessions on that. And so that is something that promotes hunger. Food, oftentimes, we see it as a quick fix for stress, and it's not a healthy habit. So instead, try to practice some of these stress management techniques when you begin to feel like you need your comfort food. Go for a nice walk or really anything out in nature where you can really connect to the environment around you while moving your body. A really great way to avoid that overindulging and overeating. Taking a warm bath, listening to your favorite music, starting a new book, arranging time to hang out with loved ones, or schedule some self-care. Maybe, you know, maybe there's a cheap massage place down the street you can go to, or getting a facial or your nails done, or a hardcore exercise, right? Just fully exercising, or even practicing meditation. And I will make sure to put a lot of these tips into the comments later. And then the accountability that I mentioned before is another really big part. So when you involve your friends and family in the process to try to help you combat overeating, it's really beneficial, not just to you, but also to them. And that power of accountability is so strong. So even just share the experience with them. You know, look, I'm looking to stop overeating and eat more slowly and more mindfully. And here's how I'm planning to do it. Just by saying it out loud and saying it to someone else automatically makes you feel more accountable. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions here that you can ask yourself, and I'll put these in the comments. But when you speak to yourself, it is really a helpful tool, and I'm going to encourage this to refine your body's communication. Questions like, am I hungry? Am I satisfied? Do I need more food? What is causing me to crave more? How fast did I eat? Did I eat intentionally? Did I enjoy what I had eaten? Would I have changed anything in that meal? I'll put all those questions into the comments so you can check them out. But really honor your responses and then adjust accordingly. And remember that it's really unlikely that this change is going to occur overnight. Just like everything else in your healthiest, healthy life, it's about small, manageable, and methodical steps. You want to remove the hurdles, you want to set goals, and make small steps to get there. So many strategies that we've gone over today and you can implement like right now, starting today. So I hope that this has been a beneficial process for you going through this with me today. Thank you for being here. For all of you who, I know this is a longer coaching session than I usually do, but I think that overeating is something that a lot of us deal with and we have to find ways to combat it. And I know that we can. So I'm sending you all lots of light and love, and hit me with any questions when you have them.
This podcast and all related content published or distributed by or on behalf of Samantha Harris, The King's Daughter, Inc., YourHealthiestHealthy.com or Samantha-Harris.com and its signatories, all known as Company, is for informational purposes only and may include information that is general in nature and that is not specific to you. Any information or opinions provided by guest experts or hosts featured within a website or on this episode of Your Healthiest Healthy podcast with Samantha Harris are their own, not those of Samantha Harris or the company. Accordingly, Samantha Harris and the company cannot be responsible for any results or consequences or actions you may take based on such information or opinions. This podcast is presented for exploratory purposes only. Published content is not intended to be used for preventing, diagnosing, or treating a specific illness. If you have or suspect you may have a healthcare emergency, please contact a qualified healthcare professional for treatment. Thank you.